Hi, this is Jeff Siegel, the wine. My guest today is Clara Klein. When she was working, was the lead sommelier at Sunday Vinyl in Boulder, Colorado, which is, of course, just outside of Denver. It is owned by the legendary Bobby Stuckey. And Clara, thank you for coming on today with me to talk about kind of what it's like to be in the restaurant wine business during the, what I'm calling the duration.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
So can you maybe tell everybody kind of what it was like those first couple of days? They announced you were closing, you wouldn't have a job. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was really quite stunning. It's one of those things where you almost feel like life is outpacing you a little bit, because just 3 months or about 3 to 4 months before we were closing, we had just opened the restaurant. So it was so surreal to have spent around a year putting together a restaurant and spending, you know, 75 hour plus weeks stocking the cellar, doing all these things, just to a couple of months later unstock it and send everything to storage. I think that's probably what was the most surreal. And it was also so surreal, too, because we were just starting to hit our stride. You know, a couple months in a new restaurant is when you really start to have a more of a routine and start to really have a sense of what the place's heartbeat is. And to have that kind of yanked out right when you're getting your groove is really jarring of sorts. And especially, too, my mom's a nurse as well, so I kind of heard everything about it from a different perspective as well. So it's so strange when you are so conflicted and you ultimately want to take care of your guests, which is why you decide to shut down. But it seems so counterintuitive that you are not there to take care of them as well.
So what have you been doing to pass the time? Do you cook? Do you have enough wine at home for the duration?
Yeah. Well, we definitely stocked up on wine before the closure, which is awesome. But I recently bought a house in October, and opening, haven't really done much. So this has been a time of so many home projects, and I'm really lucky that my husband is the executive chef of Acorn in Denver. And so I have been so used to having him around cooking, and it's so nice because we both work a ton of hours, and this is the first time in a very long time that we've actually been able to hang out and see each other. So that's been a really meaningful part of this whole situation for sure.
Well, that's the one thing that I've found is that this is an opportunity, regardless of why it's happened, for a lot of people to kind of reassess and figure out what's important. And, you know, maybe driving around the block to go this or go that is not as important as one thinks it is.
For sure.
So what have you been drinking? Were you able to take anything wine home with you from the restaurant, or have you just been ordering from, I know you've got some really great liquor stores up there.
Yeah, I've been definitely doing quite a bit at a couple of our small liquor stores, just trying to also support Colorado-owned businesses as well, especially small businesses that really you just want to pitch in and do anything that you can. At first, the first couple of weeks was so strange because you essentially have like absolutely zero income coming in. This is like before, like, unemployment everywhere I know has been such an issue, and Colorado has been no exception with that. And so we were kind of in lockdown mode for the first couple weeks, just trying to assess the situation. And now that things have kind of started to feel not normal, but at least a sense of routine, we're able to kind of enjoy life a little bit more and really kind of crack into some good stuff. Sure.
So would you, I mean, anything in particular or?
Yeah. Oh, I think I have always had this deep love of like fast food and like cabinet staples with wine. That is definitely not the most, you know, high class Michelin restaurants that I come from. And so it's
You're talking to the right guy then, because that's what we talk about on the blog, is what do you drink on Wednesday night with Chinese takeout?
Yeah. So I actually did a little piece for a local magazine called 5280.
Oh, sure.
Where I paired basically like grilled cheese sandwiches and pantry staples with wines that were from local wine shops. And that was super fun to do a little research for. But honestly, it's just drinking the wines that we love. I just kind of go down to our basement and pull a couple things when we're cooking dinner. But, you know, it really just ranges. You know, some days it's, you know, a great, you know, like little white Bordeaux with some fish, you know, things of that nature. Just trying to keep it as maybe not as cerebral heavy hitters of wines, but wines that are super crushable and refreshing. And I think maybe a little more like there for me, and are really price conscious as well.
You've made a cranky old wine writer very happy, Clara. Thank you for saying that. Especially somebody who gets to hang around as much nice wine as you do when you're drinking for yourself. All of a sudden, hey, maybe the $12 white Bordeaux is not so bad, huh?
It really isn't. And you know, I think that I've never really had that stigma, but now I'm really so happy I don't have that stigma, because I'm sure a lot of my cohorts are really draining quite a bit of their bank account nowadays.
No, I was teasing you about that, because one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is we've judged together and we've talked about wine, and you believe that wine should be fun and affordable, and you're a big supporter of Drink Local too. All right, so I wanted to ask you, one of the big things about what's going on in the restaurant business is with all the restaurants closing. And again, I'm not trying to be heartless. Anytime anybody loses a job, that's a big deal. And believe me, they have my support and my sympathy as somebody who's been self-employed for as long as I have. But is there a difference when we come back out of this between a restaurant like the ones you worked for and the national chains, which, because they've got deeper pockets, might actually be the only ones left? I mean, we talked a little bit. You said you had some thoughts about this.
Of course. Well, I think that, you know, at this time, universally, restaurants are struggling. But I think the hardest part is differentiating between restaurants that are major corporations that have had so much financial assistance from the government and who have had a say in politics and who have had, you know, lobbyists and legislature on their side from the get-go, and also have much deeper pockets that can really bridge the gap between now and then. And that is not the case for majority of mom and pop restaurants. Most restaurants are owned by families. And these are the restaurants that, you know, are just within your local community. And these are people who are very much in the same situation as you and I, just under a little bit more really intense circumstances at this time. What has made it so tough is when the closure was outside of our hands, it was outside of, I mean, this was a governmental closure, but it was for the benefit of our communities. And at the end of the day, the independent business owner, especially restaurants, are probably getting the least amount of help, especially from the recently passed CARES Act. All of these programs that they've put into place are really not useful for restaurants. And it has become such a major dividing factor. Essentially, if you go on any major chef or restaurateur's Instagram or Facebook or anyone, they cannot stop talking about how dire the situation is. And that's really because we're at a point in time where realistically 4 out of 5 restaurants could close. And I'm telling you that one restaurant that's not going to close, that's probably a large corporation restaurant, because they have an ear in politics and they also have the financial, you know, sustenance to make it last. And it's really heartbreaking to see how this system has really unfolded, honestly.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's something I've felt very strongly about, and I could probably have written it, but I couldn't have said it as passionately and with as much feeling as you did. Thank you for that. Well, Clara, this is great. Oh, do we know what we're having? Your husband's going to cook for dinner tonight?
Oh, my gosh. What a great question. I don't know. It may be a good old fridge clean out because
one of my favorite things to do.
So, you know, it's one of those times where it's just like, you know, maybe just whipping up a little mixed grab bag throughout the day.
That sounds like a terrific idea. You go down, you get some great cheap rosé, you have a good time. Clara, thank you so much for doing this. This is the Clara Klein of Sunday Vinyl in Boulder, which hopefully will reopen when at the end of the duration. Thank you very much for doing this, Clara. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate it.
This is Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon. So long until next time.